With Fidelity Wealth Management, a dedicated advisor can work with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Plus, you'll have access to specialists in estate planning strategies. So you're not just growing and protecting your wealth, you're sharing it. More at fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Sunday, April 28th, and we are here trying to help you make more informed financial decisions. Or, you know, maybe what we're really here to do is listen to what's going on in your life, tell us what you want to do, and we'll try to make sure that you don't blow through all of your cash getting to the place where you would like to go. If you need a helping hand, a pat on the back, a little boost up, Mark and I are both certified financial planners, and we'd love to hear from you. All you need to do is go to our website, jillonmoney.com, click the Contact Us button, check the box that says you want to join us on the air live, and Mark does everything else. Today, we are talking to Laura, who's on the line from New York City.
Hi, Jill. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. You know, I can start with a little background information and then tell you what my few questions are.
Sure, sure. Well, let's start with your overriding question. What's your real, like your big picture question? Because then I can see, you'll tell us the information through that lens. So is what's the big question that's looming for you?
So my big question is whether or not I have accumulated enough net worth to retire securely.
So my job is to say yes. So let's go there. How old are you, Laura?
I'm 61.
Okay, great. And you're still working?
Yes, I am.
Okay, full-time worker. How much do you earn?
$375,000 a year.
Ooh, baby. Nice. And are you married, partnered?
I'm widowed.
Oh, I'm sorry. And are you using a retirement plan at work?
Yes, I have a 401k plan at work.
And you're maxing that out?
Absolutely.
Okay, and is it a pre-tax or a Roth?
Pre-tax.
Got it. Okay, great. All right. So do you like what you do?
I do, but I'm ready for a change.
When you consider retirement, do you think I just don't want to work, or do you want to do something different, or you just want to know that you could basically stop altogether and be fine?
I'd like to know that I could stop altogether. It doesn't mean I won't work in retirement, but I would like that to be a non-financial choice, right?
Okay. Yeah, that's so good. And will you stay in New York City? Do you think, is this something that you would be like, oh, I'd be willing to move to make my financial reality better?
Not at this point in time. You know, my family is in New York and I want to stay close to my family.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Also, it is the center of the universe. As I had to explain to my brother-in-law, who is perturbed at the price of real estate, he was not happy about having to pay up to be in New York City. And I said, that's what it is. It costs a lot to live in the center of the universe. Everyone else listening doesn't really like that I say that, but it kind of feels that way for us here, right?
Absolutely. It also offers so much.
It really does. And it does require you have some money. So let's see how much money you have to enjoy the beauty and bounty of New York City. So how much have you saved in your 401k?
So in my 401k, I believe I have about $1.6 million.
Great. Do you have any other assets like a brokerage account in addition to your 401k?
Yes, I've got other investments of about $3.2 million.
Yowza. Do you manage this yourself?
I do.
God bless you. All of that, the $3.2 million is a taxable brokerage account, or is it some of your husband's retirement money? What is it comprised of?
It's taxable brokerage, and there's a substantial amount of capital gains sitting in there.
That's not a bad problem to have. I mean, wouldn't it be worse if you're like, yeah, and I can take a crap load of losses for the next 20 years. So gains are good. We like that. Right. Okay. Tell me about your living situation. How much is your apartment worth?
So my apartment is worth about $1.7 million, and I have a $580,000 mortgage.
Okay. What about just boring old cash on hand?
Well, that's included in the three.
In the brokerage? Okay, good. And is there anything else that we should know about in terms of assets?
No, those are all of my assets.
Okay, great. How about what it really costs you to live in a given year? So, I mean, it's weird when you make a lot of money. It's like, wow, the money just goes away. But have you ever gone the other way and sort of said, how much am I actually spending? What is my expense need for retirement?
Yeah, I'm probably spending between $10,000 and $15,000 a month.
Okay, 10 to 15 a month. Let's use 15. Is there anyone that you need to take care of? Is there a parent? Is there a kid? Is there a sibling? Anyone that you is relying on money from you?
I have a 28-year-old daughter, mm-hmm. and she's not relying on money from me, but I really would like to help her out in the mm-hmm. long run. She works in a very low-paying industry, and her husband is an artist. So
did she not get the memo that if you're going to have one do-gooder in the couple, the other one has to be a complete sellout? I mean, that's really the issue, right? You either have to be a sellout or have a pension, but she didn't do either.
Apparently not.
Okay. So is she okay? I mean, are they, I understand it's not, they're not living large, but are they okay?
Yes. They have adjusted their lifestyle to the money that they have. She has an inheritance from her grandmother, which is around, oh gosh, how much does she have? About $350,000.
Wow.
She's not touching that. They're living off of, you know, the money that they make.
She's your only child?
Yes, she is.
So she's going to obviously inherit everything. Is there a question embedded in here that should you be doing more for her today?
A little bit. I mean, in the short term, no, because I also, I don't want to enable their lifestyle too much. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've made a choice and they need to understand the impact of that choice. But I also understand that down the road, when maybe they start having children and they really see the true cost of living, mm-hmm. I would like to, you know that I could help then, whether it be helping to fund childcare or college, you know, all the kinds of costs that come along with.
I got you. Okay. So now we're going to do some, now we do some math, right? So one thing that I think is worthwhile, excuse me, considering is that obviously the $1.6 million hasn't been taxed yet. So right. Just for fun, just because I can, I'm just going to reduce that amount by about, I don't know, I'm going to turn it, let's say by 70%. Let's change 1.6. Let's pretend it's 1.1, that you've paid all your tax on it and that's that. And so you really have something like $4.3 million. All right. Now, theoretically, on that $4.3 million, even if we did a very conservative withdrawal rate, I think you just kind of make it with like 130 grand a year coming out, which is, you know, not bad because you'll have 130 and then you'll have your Social Security and it works. Okay. It really does work. Now, you're not going to just take all the money out of the 401k immediately anyway. It's going to keep growing. So that's like a very conservative way to do it. So what I think is kind of looks to me like a good target is that you could retire and be able to afford to spend, you know, probably more like the 12, like let's say in the early years, like 12 grand a month and not sweat it. The 15 grand a month, if you did it, if that drifted up, that you might plow through money pretty quickly. But I think that this all looks very good. I think the real issue is this. If you want a little bit more security, I guess the other aspect of this is that you could certainly delay your retirement, in which case you would also be able to actually have, I guess, health insurance and just have a few, I don't know, a little bit more moolah floating around. What would you do if we said you could retire? What would you do for health insurance? Would you just go on COBRA and then go buy insurance through the marketplace?
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do.
I mean, 15 grand a month is not nothing. It's a lot. It's 180 grand, right? It works better at 10.
Right, of course.
Could you go to your, I don't know what field you're in, but could you go to your boss and say, kind of tired, can I work a little less for another couple of years and then I'll hand the reins over? Is that something that would work or not?
That's a great idea. And it is something that I have considered.
It depends which risk you want to take. Okay. So there's one risk, which is tough crap, Jill. I'm doing this. I'm tired. I already lost my husband. Life is weird. I want to have a good time. Fine. If that's the case, you can certainly call it quits. I would suggest trying to keep it more towards the 10 versus the 15 grand a month. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, the other risk is like, I don't know. It feels kind of weird. I'd rather have a little bit more security. I'd rather have my health insurance for another year. I'd rather have the brokerage account go from 3.2 to 3.4 or whatever it is. And that may be worth it. And then if you could do that simply by reducing the actual workload, maybe you could preserve your ability to work and feel productive and have a little bit more fun for a couple more years and beef up the likelihood that you could achieve your goals. I mean, I always feel bad saying to somebody like, I want you to retire the way you want to retire. If you think you could really do it on 120 or 130 or 140 grand a year, then sure. But I guess my concern always is that it ends up being 150, 180, 200 faster right. than you can turn around.
And can I ask you a question? When you sure. say 120 a year, what about income taxes?
Yeah, right? You got to pay them.
Unfortunately. On top of the 120, or is that?
Well, I mean, look, so what would you be paying, okay, in terms of taxable income? You would have to be paying capital gains tax on all that broker, because you're gonna not touch your 401k, right? You're gonna leave that be. So that means that what you're gonna have to do is pull money out of your brokerage account, and that's going to be your income. You're gonna live on that money, right? Then you would say, okay, I'm gonna take let's say $200,000. I need to net $200,000. You won't really need to net that. You have some money in savings, so that's fine. But let's just say you wanted to take $225,000 out of whatever you have invested, and then you pay the capital gains on that. If you keep your income, your capital gains and your income, your modified adjusted gross income below 200,000 as a single filer, you're subject to a 15% long-term capital gains rate. That would be perfect for you if you could keep it under 200,000. That would be your goal, because that way you won't have to pay the extra 3.8% Medicare surtax on capital gains. So I think that would kind of be the goal. And if you feel like you want to, you know, I'm not so keen on, you know, you going nuts on the, oh my God, I have to like live by a budget, this, that, and the other thing. I want you to have enough money to do it, but it would be nice to sort of stay in that 15% bracket. And then you would do that pretty much in advance every year for the next few years. And you would, you know, that's what you would live on. That would be your, you know, the net of what you pull out of that account is your taxable income. You don't, I mean, the only other income you're going to have is interest or dividends from the brokerage account. And so that would add to your taxable liability.
Right. And I have roughly $100,000 a year of interest and dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are capital gain distributions.
Okay.
So I was thinking I just would not reinvest that and I
right.
would off of that.
Yeah, you could totally do that if you're going to pay it anyway. And then you could take a little bit out of in capital gains anyway, and then you're golden. But right. again, obviously, as always, the longer you work, the better this does pan out for you. And as far as for your daughter, I think it's wonderful to be able to help your kids. And I agree with you. It's, you know, she's got this inheritance, which is amazing. When she's in a position where she needs some financial help from you, I think you will be able to help her out. As long as you keep that to a reasonable number. What I don't want to happen is that, does she live in New York City as well?
Yes, she does.
Okay, so here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want you to say like, oh, she just had twins and I'm going to give her $500,000 to buy a bigger apartment. That you can't afford to do. Not right now, because you still need to live on this money. Look, maybe you say to me, out of my $12,500 a month, $1,000 of that is going to my future grandchild's daycare. That's fine. But you know what the parameters are.
Okay, yeah, that's very helpful.
If you've got something going on, if you've got a question, a concern, maybe a change of a job, or you're thinking about buying a home or selling a home, something that's big in your life, get in touch with us. Go to JillOnMoney.com and click the Contact Us button. While you're on the website, check out all the content that lives there. We've got a blog, we've got videos, resources, all there for you. You can subscribe to this program on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. And try to put your hands metaphorically or maybe physically on someone's back. Someone needs a little pat on the back, I promise you. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.